You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And here today, I have the pleasure of being joined by former Ravens defensive tackle Lionel Jelly Roll Dalton, someone who has such an inspiring story right now and is going through something that I do want to talk about with him and also talk about his journey in the football world with the Baltimore Ravens. Lionel, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you on today. How you doing?
Great. How you doing today, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. And Lionel, I do want to start off here in this first segment with your playing career, specifically with the Ravens. You signed with the team as an undrafted free agent after playing at Eastern Michigan University and had a pretty decorated four-year career with Baltimore and won a Super Bowl with the team. I want to first start off with how you got into football, how your love of the game began, dating back to even in your days as a kid. Was there anything specific or an experience that you had that really made you fall in love with the game?
Actually, the first time I watched Billy Sims, growing up from, I'm from Detroit, Michigan, born and raised, and growing up watching Billy Sims, my first football game was the game where he jumped over a player and kicked another guy in the face and ran a touchdown. I remember that. Might be dating myself. And then I grew up watching Barry Sanders just be one of the best running backs in NFL history with practically with one of the worst offensive linemen. And offensive in NFL history. So just growing up watching those two guys play created my love and excitement for football. And once I became of age, to play for Pell, I took the opportunity and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And for football, right, you had your love that way. And then obviously you made it to the professional level signing with Baltimore. How was your experience within the organization? I know that there is a lot of love seemingly between you and Baltimore. In your 4 years with the organization, how did you feel like as a football player and even as a person your experience was there?
I had a lot of fun in Baltimore. Even though I was a backup out there, I didn't feel like a backup. I had a lot of playing time, like as you know, and the city really accepted me as one of the key guys, a part of that Ravens defense. So I've always had a lot of love in Baltimore. You know, my first child was born in Baltimore. I met my wife in Baltimore, and so I won a Super Bowl in Baltimore. So I have a lot of history there, and I've always loved the city. Me and my wife probably go to D.C. and Maryland probably once every other year. So I love the city. It's always showed me love. So I enjoy it, and I always take advantage when I get an opportunity to go visit.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. And Lionel, talking about your Super Bowl, obviously it's a pretty big thing to win a Super Bowl in the NFL. You were a part of that championship team during the 2000-2001 season. How was being at, you know, a Super Bowl with the Ravens and winning it? How was that feeling and just being in that stadium when the final seconds tick off the clock? You're a Super Bowl champion. Obviously, the Ravens this year, they're trying to get there. But how was that feeling for you?
Original feeling was, damn, I'm tired. It's like it's finally over. But once we got, took a shower and went to the after party, that's when it kicked in. Like, man, we really won the Super Bowl. You know, something that you think as a child, but you never know if it really happened. It was going to really happen or not. So it was like, it was a dream, you know, that's what it felt like. I enjoyed it and I enjoyed the perks of it. And the city showed us a lot of love, everyone at Super Bowl. And I enjoyed it. It was a fun time in Baltimore.
Yeah, for sure it was. And really setting the precedent for what this organization is doing now. And Lionel, just speaking of this 2021 Ravens team, obviously a lot of talent with Lamar Jackson, the defense, obviously. And even with John Harbaugh as the head coach leading them, with all you've kept up with this team and everything you know about this current Baltimore team, how do you feel they're going to be able to perform this season?
Well, we left a legacy of defense. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a really good defense. They always have pretty good defense. But I like the fact that they stacked up team and brought some players to play with that number eight. I like the guy from Minnesota. One of my teammates from college, son, plays for Minnesota. And so I was excited to see they stacked up the offense, and hopefully we have some good football this year. I'm excited for the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lionel, with you being a Super Bowl champion, obviously it takes a lot to get to that stage and win. If you have any advice for the team based off of your experiences getting to a Super Bowl, grinding for a Super Bowl, what would you say?
I think the thing that a lot of us took to heart was Brian Billick before that training camp told everybody to do one extra thing. Whatever you do, do one extra thing. So if you do 10 reps, do 11. One 12 laps, one extra one. Do one extra thing, and we keep building on those one extra things. Can't nobody beat us because no one is working as hard as we are.
Yeah, it's definitely a mentality to get to that level. And speaking of your playing career, Lionel, obviously you had a very decorated one with that Super Bowl championship, but Baltimore wasn't your only stop. You played with the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Texans, and the Washington football team. Based off of your experience in Baltimore and everything that you did at your NFL career, I mean, just being an NFL player and everything you dreamed about as a child, how did that live up to your expectations?
Well, I was a free agent rookie, so I was pretty much stressed all the time. Because when you're a free agent rookie, you're always thinking you're the next cut. So I took that mentality. I always had a chip on my shoulder because I was upset that I didn't get drafted. And the guy they drafted in front of me, Martin Chase, never really played in the NFL, but I ended up playing 9 years. So I used that as a chip on my shoulder. But for most of my career, I was probably angry and upset of that. But professionally, I had my best years in Kansas City. Statistically, I had I was number two, number one in sacks at my position, a nose guard at 2006. But professionally, I had way more fun, more memorable games when I was with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and it's beautiful to hear because I think the city of Baltimore, as you mentioned, it has a lot of love for you, Lionel, and it seems like you're giving it right back to them. So the relationship between you and the city is amazing. But we're going to head into our first break now. But when we get back, we're going to be talking about Lionel's story in our second segment. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With the Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use the Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily Instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in Instant Karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Credit Karma Money, progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusion in terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MBB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. And we return with our second segment of this Locked On Ravens edition here on Thursday. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Lionel Jelly Roll Dalton. And Lionel, here in the second segment, this to me is the more important segment of the two, talking about what you're going through and your journey. Obviously, your story has been picked up by a lot of big media outlets, and so to talk about this with you here today is something that I am very pleased to be doing to spread awareness about your story and your journey. Lionel, you've been going through something here for the past year and a half that I think needs a lot of attention. And obviously, needing a new kidney is a big deal and something where you're battling for your life each and every day, and something I give you a lot of credit for just being able to battle the way that you have. How did you first find out that this was something that you were going through?
Well, in January 2020, we had a New Year's Eve party. That morning, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was having an issue breathing. I took my asthma medicine. That didn't work. I went to CVS and tried to find something. Nothing helped. And then it got to the point, something told me, go to the fire station. Something's not right. So I went to the fire station around the corner from my home. And my blood pressure was really high and my oxygen level was really low. So they rushed me to the hospital. After being there for a few days, the doctor came in and told me my kidneys were only functioning at 17% and I need to get on dialysis as soon as possible. And it was a shocker for me and my family. And I've been on dialysis ever since.
Yeah. And Lionel, when you talk about what you've been going through for, you know, this past year and a half, what are some of the things that you experienced, just symptoms because of what you're going through?
Well, this is no cheat day. So if you have a day that you eat bad, you feel it. You know, it's like the Super. It's like training for the Super Bowl, pretty much. It's like you can't mess. Like it's like going to the playoffs. You can't mess up because everything have a bad day. You feel it. And so I don't know if that was a good analogy or not, but it depends on how I eat. If I eat healthy, I feel pretty good. But if I have a bad dialysis treatment, because with kidney failure, you have issues with you don't go to the restroom, so your body retains water, and that's not good for your heart. But my water seems to store in my feet, and so it's really giving me a lot of pain. So I have good days and bad days, but for the most part, I have good days.
Right, absolutely. And I'm glad the good days are outweighing the bad days for you here. But Lionel, when you look at what you're going through, how much have you learned about just organ donation in general since your diagnosis?
I learned a lot of people are afraid of it. It's scary. You don't know what can happen, something can happen to you if you donate your organ. You know, a lot of people just don't know about it. You know, they check the box on the card, but you don't really have to think about it when you pass away. And a lot of people, like the doctor told me, Dr. Jeevy told me, a lot of people like to take their organs to heaven with them. So I would like to try to remove the stigma and fear of donating organs and let people know that they can save up to 8 lives by donating organs when they pass on. I know religious reasons, a lot of people don't do it, but for the most part, if it's not a religion that's holding you back from donating, just think about the legacy you can leave and how you can help save somebody's life and give them more time with their family and kids while they're here.
Right, and that's the most important part, saving a life and having people have just a prolonged life is one of the most important things you can give somebody. Lionel, what you talked about trying to break some stigmas, are there any other stigmas just based off organ donation in general that you'd like to say here that, you know, maybe we'll say, all right, you know, it's not as serious or as scary as you might think?
I would like people to know that the person who you donate the kidney to, insurance covers you for the rest of your life with anything involved that has to do with that particular organ or any issue that the surgery might cause to you. I haven't found a black market yet. I've been looking for a black market. I have seen one. I don't think it's a black market. I could afford it, but haven't found one. You can live with one kidney. A lot of people my family is pretty much fear and scared of losing one kidney. What if they need their kidney? And so I would just try to help people remove some of those fears and barriers that scare people from donating.
Yeah, it certainly could be a scary thought, but obviously with the right information, which obviously you have, Lionel, I think that people should know that it's not as scary as they think. But something in some organizations have really helped you out, and something that I love to see, and one is the Living Legacy Foundation, a relationship that you have had with them for a very long time. How has their support and their help helped you out over this past year and a half, and even dating back further?
I just think God has a sense of humor. So, back in Baltimore, they were giving out jobs to do stuff in the community. Because I was the free agent rookie and I was the youngest guy on the team at the time, I got the job that didn't pay anything. So I got to choose between 5 jobs that didn't pay anything, but I still wanted to do something in the community. So I chose Living Legacy. I did a PBS commercial for them, a PBS commercial for them. And they gave me this beautiful plaque thanking me for doing a commercial for their foundation. We moved to Atlanta from Florida. My wife made a mural in the basement for me. And it's like a Hall of Fame wall with all my jerseys and pictures. And I haven't seen this picture in years. It was just in a box. And she put it on the wall because I had so many pictures from my career. I just didn't put them all up. And then I looked at the picture and looked on the back, and it was everybody thanking me and their number on the back. I called the number on the back, and it was one lady that was there with me. And then the other lady, Lindsay, and forget the other lady's name, but they called me and reached out to me and said they heard, they're sorry about what's going on with me. They linked me up with Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland. And then she called me back a week later and said she pitched the story to Good Morning America for Donors Month, for Organ Donor Month. And I did the interview, and after the interview, I've had people stepping up, getting tested, seeing if they can, see if they're matched to help me. And that's been a really big help. And I'm crossing my fingers. I got a few people now being tested. Hopefully somebody matches and I can get back to have somewhat of a normal life.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lionel, are there any updates you can provide everyone about your journey right now in terms of where you are on the waiting list, what your blood type is, and how people can help you and just help you return to that somewhat normal life as you talked about?
So I have O negative blood. So I have, I can donate to everybody else, but everybody can't donate to me. Only O blood type can donate to me. So my waiting time is 5 to 8 years. Most people's are 3 to 5. And so that's pretty much, it's a longer waiting time for people with my blood type. And that's it. I'm just waiting, and hopefully something comes through for me.
Yeah, and I'm here hoping every day for you, Lionel. When you talk about the support that you've gotten, though, you talked about Good Morning America, and your story has been picked up by a lot of different people. You've seen support. You know, just seeing that all has made me very happy for you. How much has that all meant to you, just to have all these people reaching out and everybody picking up your story and spreading awareness about your journey and your story?
Yeah, like I said, I have good days and bad days. Sometimes the bad days are overshadowed with all the love I've been receiving from different Baltimore Ravens fans. There's even been some fans from Kansas City reaching out and just, you know, saying I'm in their prayers, and people being tested in Kansas and people being tested in Baltimore. So it's definitely helped me lift my spirits. I've had a call, Marvin Lewis called me. I haven't talked to him since I left Baltimore. And so it was really nice to hear his call. He brought up old Barry Sanders play, my first game in the NFL, and I was excited to tackle Barry, and I'm from Detroit. And so he brought up some old times and really lifted my spirit. So it's been a lot of people calling me and helping me move through these trying times and helping me stay strong.
Yeah, and staying strong is something that I give you a lot of props and a lot of credit for, Lionel. I do want to ask you, though, before we conclude this, is there any way that people can help you in terms of reaching out and getting not only tested, but potentially for matches here? Where do you want people to go? Are there any hashtags, any links, any websites that you want people to go to help you out?
Yeah, it's www.newkidneyforjellyroll.com. On there, they have links to different clinics that I am on the list with. We have one in Baltimore, I have one in Florida, and I'm working on getting one in Kansas as well. And all the information on there, my stories on there, and everything we've been going through is on there. And like I said, I like to give everybody who's been going to the website, signing up. I really appreciate that. A lot of people have been on my Twitter feed, and I ask you guys to keep retweeting those to help me get my story out. And I've been getting a lot of support on my social media platform. Every day I get like 5 to 10 people telling me to stay strong and they're praying for me. And that really helps a lot. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and so everybody, please be sure to sign up and share Lionel's story, because you don't know. You might know somebody who doesn't know that they could help out. It just takes one person, and hopefully, Lionel, I'll be praying every day, and I have been, that you will get some help soon. But it's been a pleasure and an honor to talk with you, Lionel. I appreciate you coming on here, talking football, and also sharing your story with me. And as I just said, you know, I'll be praying, and I will be hoping for you every single day.
Thanks, Kevin.
Again, a big thank you to Lionel for coming on the show and talking some football, as well as sharing his story. It was an honor and a pleasure to be able to talk with him. And be sure to use the hashtag on social media, #NewKidneyForJellyRoll, as well as visiting his website for any other information. And hopefully we'll be able to get Lionel a new kidney very soon. But we're going to head into our final break now. And when we return, we're going to be getting into some news and notes from Mandatory Minicamp, getting into a quick rundown of what happened over the last 2 days. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and it's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in there, how'd you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know the Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, almond, raspberry, mint, brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you. And after talking to Lionel Dalton about football and his story, we're now going to get into Ravens mandatory minicamp. Baltimore having minicamp on both Tuesday and Wednesday. And there's a lot to talk about, to be honest, with the offense, with the defense. And so in this final segment, I do want to just get into a quick rundown of what's happened and give updates as to what has gone on over these past couple of days for Baltimore, who has looked good, who has maybe struggled a bit. And then tomorrow we'll be diving into a more full breakdown of what's happened during mandatory minicamp, so be sure to tune into that episode as well. But for the most part, it seemed like the Ravens had two very productive days on Tuesday and Wednesday. When it came to Tuesday, it seemed like the secondary was the definite winners of that day. There were multiple reported interceptions by a lot of different players. Marcus Peters, Anthony Avert, Brandon Stevens, Chris Westry, and then other guys coming up with big plays as well. Chuck Clark and Khalil Dorsey, some of the other names that were thrown out there. But if the secondary excels, that means that another positional group struggled, and that was the quarterbacks. It wasn't Lamar Jackson's best day, according to a couple people. Same thing with Trace McSorley and Tyler Huntley. It wasn't just on Lamar Jackson. And, you know, I saw a lot of overreactions. I did to this first kind of 11-on-11 stuff, the Baltimore's run, and that was really shaking the rust off, in my opinion, because you look to Wednesday, and that's a day where it was reported that Lamar Jackson had his best day, arguably, of the summer by many, at least to the ones that are open to the media and whatnot and are reported on. Jackson apparently has a very strong connection already with new wide receiver Sammy Watkins, and that's what you want to hear, right? That is exactly why the Ravens brought Sammy Watkins in, a move that I think honestly drew a bit of criticism. Obviously, the Ravens missing out on guys like T.Y. Hilton and Juju Smith-Schuster, but it seems like Jackson and Watkins already have that connection, and every day it seems like the quote-unquote play of the day is a Jackson to Watkins connection in some way, shape, or form. So it's really refreshing to hear that, because if Watkins can show and if he can stay healthy for a full 17-game season here in 2021, he could be another big-bodied, speed-deep threat for Lamar Jackson to throw to. Also, the connection with Mark Andrews is apparently very, very nice, but actually pretty big piece of news that kind of flew under the radar a little bit was the fact that apparently the Ravens have actually banned media from filming Lamar Jackson throwing to receivers at practice. And this is a piece of news that honestly I was a bit surprised by, but I do understand it. And I want to talk about this for just a minute or two here, because while it might not be a huge deal in the grand scheme of things, the reasoning behind it, I think, is because there were a couple of instances where the team actually caught a bit of flack, and on one of them it was a lot of flack. The first instance was the Ravens posted a video of Lamar Jackson throwing an accurate, albeit pretty wobbly, pass to Sammy Watkins, and it just got absolutely bashed on social media. People were just going crazy in the comments and quote tweeting it or whatever, saying, oh, Lamar Jackson can't throw, look at the pass, it's wobbly, this, that, and the other. And it just got so much backlash. And even Ravens fans on Twitter were saying, delete this, like, don't do Lamar Jackson like this. So I think that was the first instance where, okay, you know, that maybe might not have been the best thing to post, but I still don't think it was terrible. The main reason I think this is, and this rule was put in place, is because the team actually posted a few videos, I think it was a back-to-back thing, of Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman running a pretty unique route concept. I won't go into too much detail, but pretty much they're running sideways and a coach runs up on them and then they cut up field really, really hard. And that's kind of giving away some stuff, right? You're seeing the Ravens run this kind of stuff. The offense is going to have some wrinkles, right? And I think that this rule was put into place so that people can't see the new wrinkles added into the offense, which honestly, if we're thinking about it, is a pretty smart decision. But at the same time, you know, to ban all of that, I think is a pretty steep move. And I'm not criticizing it at all. I'm just saying that when taking everything into account, having a guy throwing to receivers, you know, it's not a big deal, but I think the Ravens want to keep as much as they can secret, kind of put it away, not expose it during whatever, during minicamp, training camp, the preseason. And then once the regular season starts, they'll start to unravel their playbook in terms of just letting it all loose. and slowly, you know, week by week, or even sometimes quarter by quarter, game by game, whatever, figuring out how they want to implement these new things that they have put into it. So that news was something I did want to talk about. Apparently, and this was from Jameson Hensley, who someone asked for a video, and he said, you know, media members can't film Lamar Jackson throwing to receivers anymore. I just think it's a matter of keeping stuff under wraps, not exposing it, and letting stuff be exposed in the regular season, where that's where they want it to be exposed for the first time. That's where they want teams to see it for the first time instead of clips from practice so that teams can prepare for it. That's not what they want at all. And moving back into the stuff that happened over the 2 days of mandatory minicamp for the Ravens, it seems like for this team, Calais Campbell is taking on that veteran role again, and that's going to be big for a lot of players, right? Pernell McPhee taking on that role. Watkins is kind of the veteran in that wide receiver room. You can have Kevin Zeitler in there as the offensive line guy. For the corners, Jimmy Smith is going to be the veteran in that secondary. But Campbell apparently has been working with second-year defensive lineman Justin Madubuike, and that's huge because I mentioned Madubuike as someone who I think is going to be a stud in year two, someone who I think is going to be the breakout player on the Ravens. And he is going to get a lot more reps this year, I feel like, because the Ravens are going to want to dial back the snaps of Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe and Brandon Williams, which is a smart thing to do. You want to keep them as fresh as possible and as healthy as possible with all three of them being over 30 years old. But I'm excited to see what Madubuike can do with the leadership and the mentorship of Calais Campbell. Also, it seems like Josh Oliver is making a name for himself. He was acquired from Jacksonville in March for a conditional 7th-round pick. If he makes the team, the pick goes to Jacksonville. If he doesn't, the pick returns to Baltimore. So, honestly, a 7th-round pick for a productive tight end 3 is a price I'm paying 10 times out of 10. If Oliver is that guy, he can make an impact both blocking and receiving. I will take that. So it's still early. There are still a lot of people competing for that tight end job, but it seems like Oliver is making a name for himself with a lot of passes thrown his way. Another big piece of news is the offensive line. It seems like this line is going to take a few weeks to gel, maybe even a few months, depending on how much work they put in. Apparently, a lot of false starts happening. And obviously, I think this is just an implication of a new group together. They're trying to feel themselves out. How does it feel playing alongside this guy? How does it feel playing alongside that guy? I mean, across the entire offensive line, positional-wise, and if you want to take Ronnie Stanley out of the equation, at the end of the 2020 season compared to the start of this 2021 season, there will be 5 new players at all 5 positions. Now, Bradley Bozeman is moving from left guard to center, but still, if you're looking at an offensive line that is Ronnie Stanley, Ben Cleveland, Bradley Bozeman, Kevin Zeitler, Alejandro Villanueva, 5 new players at different positions there. So we'll see how this group ends up gelling. I think it will be fine, but there could be a few hiccups along the way. Also, the cornerback depth for Baltimore will definitely be shown throughout these next couple months. They're going to have to make some tough decisions with their cornerbacks. Devontae Harris apparently playing really well. Again, I mentioned Khalil Dorsey as someone who has stood out in these practices, according to multiple people. So we'll see what ends up happening. I see the Ravens keeping 6 corners, and I don't see a spot for people like Devontae Harris and Khalil Dorsey unless they have out of their mind training camp and preseasons, which is possible. You know, they have a lot of talent there, but there will be some tough decisions. And finally, Justin Tucker had an uncharacteristically off day, missing from 48 and 52 on Tuesday, but ended up bouncing back in a big way on Wednesday, hitting from 30, 37, 44, and 51, and was pretty pumped about that 51-yarder he let out a yeah, and just kind of helping himself understand that, yeah, he's still one of the best in the league. I'm sure he still gets that, but he puts a lot of high expectations on himself. He puts a lot of pressure on himself, and I think that's just what competitors do. Tucker is a competitor, and for him, I'm sure it felt good to go out there and hit a couple big field goals instead of missing them. So overall, it seemed like a pretty productive few days for this Baltimore Ravens team, and just to get the work in with teammates, gel with teammates, meet new coaches, get back in the building, get familiar with just playing a back-to-normal, almost back-to-normal NFL season. I think that's a huge thing for this team, and at the end of the day, they're going to be good in 2021. I have a good feeling about this Baltimore Ravens team, and I think that we'll see when we get to week one and when everything is settled, the 53-man roster is finalized, but with the depth that they have and with the star power that they have as well, I'm expecting a big year. That's all that I have for you today, but when we get back tomorrow, we'll be taking a deeper dive into these last 2 days of minicamp on Tuesday and Wednesday, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.